Welcome to Passionate and Practical, the Art of Dreaming, Doing, and Serving. Today, we are talking about all things women's ministry with Joy Laprade, which is such a fancy French name. My maiden name is also French, so we just talked about that before we were recording. And Joy is a mom, a wife, and she's a women's minister at her church. And so I'm so excited to be speaking to a fellow women's ministry friend, and I met Joy back in, I think, November of last year, and just loved everything that she had to say about women's ministry. And God just has a cool story of how he kind of drew her into that. So I'm going to let her kind of introduce herself and how she got into ministry. Joy, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Lexi. I'm really excited this worked out. It was really neat when we met back in November and just connected. I love talking about women's ministry. I serve as the deacon of women for our church, Exodus Church. It's just outside of Charlotte, North Carolina, and I've been doing that for just about 3 years, and I kind of stumbled into this role a little bit. I had been serving in some other roles at our church, and I was in the process. A friend and I had actually just begun to lead. We launched a women's Bible study. There hadn't been a formal women's Bible study at our church. And just around that time, our elders were convicted that they wanted to invest more specifically in the women of our church. And there had been a women's ministry in place, but it wasn't very developed. And they spent some time just trying to form a structure and call out some leadership and put something in place. And so I knew I wanted to help out in some way. I really didn't see myself necessarily taking on the role of, you know, running it. But a friend of mine who was going to do that, she ended up having to kind of step back. And I kind of reluctantly stepped into that position. And it's been a really fruitful and challenging role, and has just given me the chance to think through and work on things that I never had really done before.
Awesome. One thing I love about women's ministry is God just has this awesome way of first calling us into it, and then second, just allowing us to be shaped and molded, but allowing us also to mold and shape the vision for what women's ministry looks like in our specific context. And I am so grateful for that, because I think in the beginning, I was really intimidated by this big thought of what women's ministry should be in a local church, and not feeling like I checked all the boxes. And so for me, it's just been a really fun journey of where I am weak, he is strong, but also where I am strong and don't think that it measures up to what someone is looking for in a women's ministry leader, God just kind of weaves in these strengths that I didn't think that were correlated. Do you have any stories like that where you, or just as you kind of entered into that space, kind of how God grabbed you? And we were talking before we started recording too, of like how the genesis of it and being in prison ministry. And so you were asked to go in and lead a study in a prison, and you were reluctant, but then found that you loved teaching. And so can you tell me a little bit about that?
I have always loved reading and writing, and God has definitely worked in my heart where, you know, I would say starting maybe 10 years ago, just giving me a love for his word that, you know, I grew up in the church, but the idea of like, it was always kind of a chore to, you know, I know I'm mm-hmm. supposed to read the Bible, and that was kind of something that, you know, you got to check that off your list. And I think really, as I became a you know, I transitioned out from working to becoming a stay-at-home mom, and just that kind of brought me just face-to-face with how needy I was, and God kind of grew that hunger in me for his word, so that I just, you know, it was something that I looked forward to. So I knew I always, you know, I was growing over the years in my love for the word. And when we came to this church, we got involved in the prison ministry, and we were just serving. We would go down to this prison, a group of us, and bring a meal. And then we would split up. The men would go with the men and do like a Bible study worship service time. And the women would do a Bible study with the women. And the woman that had been leading that Bible study asked me one month, she said, you know, would you like to prepare and give the Bible study, do the teaching? And I'm not someone who necessarily loves getting up on stage and teaching or speaking. So I was kind of nervous, but I said, okay, I'll try it. And it was really kind of like you said, God using something that where I didn't necessarily see a strength, and where I felt very weak. And I found that I loved that. I loved the process of studying and preparing and just being able to share the word with those women. And so I did that more regularly with our prison ministry, and then started thinking about, we had no formal women's Bible study at our church, and started thinking about that. Could we develop something? And a friend and I started looking into that, and got that launched just at kind of around the same time that our women's ministry was formally getting off the ground. But
what year was
I would
that?
Say, I guess going back to what you were saying about God using our weakness, that I think for me, just start to finish, the whole process has been, and it's not finished, but I have not felt that I've been operating in my strengths for so much of it. I feel like God has called me into places where I just have to depend on him. Whether it was the first time I taught, or trying to figure out what does a women's Bible study look like, or, oh, now I've been handed the task of starting this women's ministry. How do I do that? It's been uncomfortable, but it's so good to be in that place of knowing it's not something that I'm doing, but I'm trying to walk in dependence.
That's awesome. It keeps us humble when we're walking out of our weakness sometimes rather than our strength. And I think that God uses both to bring himself glory. And I love that people say, God doesn't give you more than you can handle. It's like, where in the Bible is that? In fact, I think he does give us more than we can handle, so that we have to rely on him. And I just love that your story is one of just surrender and just being willing to be on the ride with Jesus, and like, okay, this is an adventure. This isn't necessarily what I saw for myself, but I'm willing. And I think that God, more than anything, over and over in the Bible, is so much more pleased with a willing vessel than he is with a perfect person, which doesn't exist. But many of us like to think that we're great in and of ourselves. And I know that I struggle with that. And I love when I'm just reminded that none of this is because of me. It's because of him. So as you were entering into women's ministry, who in your life was affirming you? It sounds like the elders of your church and your pastor. Were there any other mentors or people discipling you that were calling you into this?
I would say for sure, really, my husband. He has kind of encouraged me in places, you know, in the place where I say, I can't do this. He said, no, I see this in you. I think God has called you to this. And that has been a great encouragement to me because there's been a lot of times that I've doubted, should I be doing this? I don't feel capable. And he said, yeah, I think this is where you should be. And I think too, her name was Allison. And when she kind of had to step back, we got together one morning, and I was just kind of talking through with her, you know, I don't remember exactly her words, but I remember her just affirming that this was where she felt like God was calling me, or that I was capable of it, because I was really doubting that at the time. And that encouragement was really timely and helpful.
That's amazing. I love that you mentioned your husband, because I similarly feel like I'm where I am today because of my husband believing in me way more than I believe in myself. And I would say to any of you single ladies that are listening, make sure that when you find a spouse, when you're, you know, open to who God has for you and you're praying through, is this the right guy? Please, please, please marry someone that just believes, because there is something so sweet and so Christ-like about a husband that believes in your strengths and believes in your capabilities and believes in the work that God can do through you as a leader in your community, as a wife and a mom, as someone who has dreams and passions. It's been the biggest blessing to me is to have a spouse that loves and supports me and encourages me to do way bigger things than I ever would have had for myself. So I love that you have that same story. And a lot of women that I speak to that are doing really incredible things in life have that backing of a spouse that just really, really believes in them. And that's really encouraging to me. So what is your favorite thing about women's ministry, or maybe something that surprised you that you didn't think that you would love?
A favorite thing has been just the potential that I see both in our church and then just more broadly. I feel like the conversation around women and women's ministry is moving in some really encouraging ways, that women are being called up and called into places that, you know, when I was growing up and in the churches that I grew up in, I didn't see a lot of roles for women, and I didn't see women necessarily valued and honored and given opportunities in the way that I think is starting to happen. I'm excited about a little research and like looking back over the last 5 years, there's been like several viral blog posts about people just kind of bashing women's ministry, saying, you know, I'm done with it, or, you know, this is just, it's not, you know, I'm tired of the fluff. And I think that that's good and right to be tired of that, you know, things that don't value women and don't expect much out of them. But I think that the problem isn't women's ministry. It's how, you know, our kind of consumer Christianity and sometimes some really unhealthy cultural views of women have seeped into the church. And I want to see a women's ministry that expects a lot out of women, because they can do so much. And because Jesus, you know, values women, God himself has valued and used women ever since he created them. So, you know, that's what excites me.
That's awesome. I love thinking about kind of where women's ministry has been and where it's going, and kind of the, I'm also eager to see where kind of this movement of, I love that you said expecting more of women, because the fluff, like you were saying, there's some things that people just anticipate that women will love because it's girly stuff or womanly stuff, where ladies just love to do X, Y, or Z. So we have to do it like this. And then really, if people are showing up to a church, chances are they're craving more of Jesus and less of the fluff. And also, I think authenticity is huge. And as women, we want to put our best foot forward, and we want to put on our Sunday best. And I know that I do. Sunday is my one day where I like put on makeup, do my hair, and I'm like, Blake, you've got the kids for 2 hours while I just do nothing except for just try to look nice and look like a human, because every other day it's questionable if I even brush my teeth. And so part of it is like a look good, feel good kind of thing. But then part of it also, when we step into the church, I think we bring some of that mask with us in the way that we communicate with one another. And I've just been really struggling with this thought of, I have some friends that are not believers, or they're not active in the church, And the way I feel around them is almost safer than when I feel around my Christian friends. And that is something that I'm wrestling through and trying to figure out, okay, God, like, what is it about this that I'm actually playing into as well, and not allowing for my whole self to be in the conversation and just my Christian self to be in the conversation? And how can I encourage women to be fully authentic, and that God is not afraid of who they are outside of the church? Mm-hmm. And how do we kind of blend our lives to be, you know, our work self and our go to the gym self and our church self, to be consistent in character and consistent in the way that we talk and consistent in the way that we are friends? And that is something that I really am wrestling through recently, as I feel this just this reality that sometimes people that aren't Christian are easier to get along with, or easier to do life with, or easier to be real with. And so how do we as women kind of encourage a more authentic? Have you seen that in your church? And how do you as a leader kind of encourage women to just take off the mask?
Yeah, I think that's hard, because sometimes we're not even aware I think women are so empathetic and relational that sometimes we fall into trying to be the person that we think someone wants us to be without realizing it. But I think this is kind of a Sunday school answer, but I think like the way that I see to deal with it is just really the gospel, because you know, the gospel is that, how does Tim Keller put it? We're worse sinners than we could ever know, but we're more deeply loved than we could ever believe. Mm. And I think we put on those masks when we're afraid of being known, and we think we have to project someone else, something else, in order to be loved and accepted. And I think the more that we grow, and it's a never-ending process, the more that we grow in our knowledge of how deeply God knows us and how he loves us despite everything that he sees, we can become more capable of showing ourselves to one another. And that's one reason that I'm really passionate about women studying the Bible and not doing topical studies and book studies. They have their place, and they're, I don't want to bash them, but I think there's nothing that can replace just sitting down and opening the Word and really wrestling through the hard parts as well as the parts that are more comforting or encouraging. Mm-hmm. And just having to know, like, okay, God, who are you in this text, and who am I in relation to you? Mm. And the more that women get a chance to do that, I think the more they can grow in their, just in that grounding of their identity in Christ.
Hmm. That's awesome. What's like one tool? I know that there are many, but if you were to just sit down with someone who is just Bible ? Like, what, where do I start? Where do I begin? How do you encourage them if they really haven't walked with the Lord before, or if they've grown up a Christian their whole life, but they've never read the Bible? What's your starting place?
Wow. That's a great question. I think, for me, I guess I would say the way that we've set up our women's Bible study is really kind of a simple and straightforward method that I think anybody can use. And I think the less, if you don't know the difference between the Old and New Testament, you know, you need someone who can kind of walk with you and help you just kind of get oriented. But kind of our process is just trying to understand, like, this is a book written by a real person and two or four real people, and to figure out some of that, like, who those people were, and then And in that process, that the way that we have our study set up is we focus on just understanding that context. And as you work through, like we studied Colossians most recently, as you figure out what did these words mean to Paul and what did it mean to the Colossians, you discover, wow, I'm really not that different from these people. And even though they lived so long ago, they were struggling with really similar things or confused about really similar things. And kind of the process of understanding what it meant to them, God will use that to kind of open your eyes to what it means to you. So I think that just really simple reading short passages at a time and just we ask a series of questions like, what did Paul mean when he wrote this? And what did this mean to the Colossians? And after you figure that out, then how does that challenge you or encourage you? And how does that make you want to pray? And just those really simple open-ended questions, I think we always encourage prayer, like at the beginning of your personal study, at the beginning of when we sit down and do discussion, because this is like, this is God's word. It's a conversation. It's not like an academic textbook. You know, he's going to apply it. And so we just come to it in dependence. So I think just to kind of sum it up, I would say, try to understand the basics of the context of the book of the Bible and come to it in prayer. Just asking God to work. I feel like those are the simple tools.